My focus is the people here.
I don't make anybody happy.
John DePietro on 1540 WADK.
Mr. DePietro, who is in the eye of the storm.
Suddenly, John DePietro became the story.
Radio talk show host John DePietro.
Is Providence crime town?
Most definitely.
And folks, once again, good afternoon. It is John DePietro. It is the John DePietro show. Here I am. Afternoons, 1 to 5, right-hand side of the dial. It's AM 1540, and it's WADK. You can listen online at WADK.com. You can also hear all the various podcasts. You want to send me an email? That sounds fine. John at DePietro.com. No I's. DePetro.com. And then you can also join our conversation on Facebook Live at John DePietro Show, brought to you by EliteWirelessRI.com with our producer, Rob Bennett. Joining us right now, he is the managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com, and it's Justin Katz. Good afternoon, Justin.
Good afternoon. Welcome to October.
The weather outside is definitely a little chilly. Justin, I want to start off. I thought it was interesting with the poll that came out regarding Governor Raimondo, Morning Consult poll that showed the various governors around the state. And as much as Governor Raimondo and her people, you know, try to downplay it, it's so ridiculous. You know, we don't pay attention to polls, and we just try to do our job. That's like a baseball player saying he doesn't check his average, or a team that says that during the course of the game they're not checking the scoreboard. I mean, we all know that it's a big dominating factor of politics. Those that have a high approval rating can get more of their agenda done. It shows whether or not you're in touch with your constituents. You know, if in fact you're plugged in, how this stands less than almost about a year out, or a little bit more than that, of re-election. What do you make of the fact that Governor Gina Raimondo right now, as we speak, finds herself, as they call it, underwater, where her disapproval rating is higher than her approval rating?
Well, the thing with polls is they're not, you can't live your life by them, but they are a tool, and they do help you explain, you know, your particular circumstance. I was struck, for example, that in Scott Walker in Wisconsin is actually lower than Gina Raimondo on this, but he's actually, you know, revolutionizing politics there. He's
changing things. Good point.
So you would expect him to be controversial. Whereas with Governor Raimondo, you know, you look at it and you see that she's down on the list, and it just kind of makes sense, right? It makes sense, sort of like Governor Baker in Massachusetts is at the top of the list. It just kind of makes sense. You look around, people in Massachusetts like him. He's getting stuff done. He's working with the system and making things happen, and has a general positive attitude surrounding him, whereas Governor Raimondo really doesn't. And so it would be one thing if everybody around the state were speaking well of her, and then this national poll came out and said, oh, everybody hates her, then it would be suspicious and you could kind of disregard it. But it's not. It's the opposite. It coincides. The national poll finds out she's not doing well, and around here the sense is that she's just not doing all that well.
Justin, she won with 40% of the vote. And let's face it, you know, Cranston Mayor Alan Fung came in second at 36%. If you take Bob Healy out of the mix, she ran as strong as someone could run, fought off Angel Tavares Claypell in the primary. What I find interesting is we're now just, you know, a couple months away from her fourth year in office, and in a year from November, she's going to be up for reelection unless she faces a primary next September. She really has not ventured beyond that 40%. And if anything, you know, many times if you talk to people, it seems that it's lower than 40%. But she at no point to me has crossed the threshold anywhere near 50% approval rating.
No, I don't see any way she could be. I mean, she seems to be trying to piece together a sort of progressive big government, you know, manipulating the economy kind of a vision. And that, I think that's a wrong play that'll never work. But even if it were to work, it kind of takes some time to kick in, and we're just not seeing it, which is why you see the Raimondo administration trying to promote any kind of economic news they can, because that's where they need something to kick in, or else she's got nothing. And that's what we need to see. And you look around and you don't see her pulling much weight in local government or politics. She hasn't been able to get She hasn't been central to – nobody's even talking about her, really, with the Mattiello versus Ruggiero controversy in the General Assembly to get them to pass the budget. She's just sort of there and not really succeeding at things, and computer programs aren't working. And, you just don't get the sense that there's much – you don't see how there could possibly be over 50% of people in the state who think she's doing a good job.
Yeah, I don't see it. And when they're out there, you don't – and it's interesting – you know, you and I are very active on social media, especially Twitter. I don't see, you know, a Raimondo crowd defending her. I don't see anything like that. I see someone who is doing everything in their power to try to raise the national profile. But I think, Justin, they're also frustrated that they just have not been able to crack through. And I also think it's interesting that no matter what she tries – she has just not connected to people. Now, I do want to talk about and get your response, because I'm glad you wrote about this. When asked about Governor Baker, now, when they first came into office, you had Governor Gina Raimondo. She was one of the only ones that had President Obama in. He came into Rhode Island College. She invited him in to come in and campaign. He was very unpopular at the time. As a result of that, if you remember, then he then treated her. They had lunch at Greg's. And when he invited a few governors to the White House, she was one of the governors that was in the Oval Office. This was, you know, Joy Fox was the impossible communication person who was so arrogant. I'm going to bring in all these out-of-towners and everything, and she was going to take on the world. They had a lunch at Angelo's on the Hill, and I remember one of the Baker people telling someone I know they couldn't believe the arrogance of the Raimondo people. They were, you know, name-dropping, and I was just with the president, and you're new, and da-da-da, and everything else. Fast forward... you know, Governor Charlie Baker, here he is in Massachusetts, 71%. And when asked about that, she said, well, you know, maybe if I was taller. Now, Justin, to me, that is absolutely that is an indirect insult to intimate that somehow maybe that's why he's popular. Nothing to do with, you know, as far as his policies or the way he or anything like that. In Governor Raimondo's mind, folks, and that's what she said to a TV reporter, well, maybe if I was taller. Justin, if this were the reverse, that is in some ways, I don't want to say a sexist comment, but it's definitely a demeaning comment, because if roles were reversed, if Charlie Baker were the one underwater and Governor Gina Raimondo were at 71%, and if a man said something like, well, you know, if I had legs like that or something like that or just some nature of that, people would jump all over it. Look how sexist. But what is your take on her being dismissive of him, of like, well, you know, maybe if I was taller, I'd be more popular?
Yeah, you know, I read it more as a matter of personality and a good indication of why she can't really break through with the people of Rhode Island. Because my response was, you know, how insulting to us, you know, as if Rhode Island voters are so shallow that if she were taller, then we would certainly be voting her to be the best governor in the country, because that's what we really care about. And that was kind of my take. And I think it's just this personality thing and this arrogance that you mentioned, and you see it in her policies as well as her politics. But it's just something condescending. I mean, and I realize it was a joke, and you can make too much of it. Maybe if she'd said something like she needs to be shorter and taller or something. She could have spun it in a better way. It would show some political growth in her. You know, these questions are, you need to be able to brush these questions off without getting caught up saying something that might rub somebody the wrong way. And what
right.
You say is, you know, Governor Baker's doing great things in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
We're trying to fix some problems in Rhode Island, and they're proving very difficult. So I'm not surprised people aren't altogether happy with me, but I think that poll's a little bit off and we're working to make things better. You know, something like that would be easy. Instead, she tried to be clever and,
yep.
And I'm sure it's a joke that all her friends around the office chuckled at. But to Rhode Islanders, it does seem, you know, apart from being an indirect insult to Baker and a direct insult to Rhode Islanders, it just kind of shows that she doesn't quite get what the important things about governing are.
Well, it's also interesting, before we're going to jump to the next topic, but when she did an interview, and again, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We're speaking with managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com, Justin Katz. When she did an interview on NBC 10, because various reporters were asking about it, and it's so dramatic that you have the governor of Massachusetts right next door at 71% approval rating, even more Democrat state than Rhode Island, and then also you have Governor Gina Raimondo, you know, struggling and she's underwater. They even asked her, I think it was on Channel 10, Emily Bowles said, you know, do you think in light of this you would do anything differently? And she said no. To me, Justin, that is absolutely moronic. I mean, that is partisan politics at its best. You wouldn't do anything different. You wouldn't. I mean, you wouldn't want to pick the guy's brain if you know you're trudging along and you have someone right next door. Maybe you could adapt some of their policies. You know, you don't have to exactly go to a Trump rally, but you know, can you imagine a coach that is asked about the Patriots are 6-0 and you're at 3-3? Do you think you would do anything differently? And the answer is, no, we're just going to continue with the same game plan. I think that's a chance to maybe kind of relook at the way things are going. But, boy, she does not break out of that mode of as if, you know, leave it to me. We know exactly what we're doing.
Yeah, it's a little surprising because when she does go out and try to talk about getting companies here, she'll say, you know, we'll go talk to anybody. We'll work with anybody to try to figure out what they can do with Rhode Island. And here, I mean, that's the easy response to this was, oh, yeah, I mean, I'm willing to learn from anybody. I'm new at this. I know that.
Sure.
You know, and it would just be such an easy response. But instead, you know, it's almost you wonder, you know, you don't want to play too much radio psychiatrist, although it's fun, but you know, you wonder if she reads, you know, the New York Times talking about her as a pragmatic Democrat who might run for the White House and then comes back here and gets asked questions about being unpopular and like it doesn't even connect in her head. You know,
no.
If the Times says that about you, you must be doing all right. So what's this poll? And that's what the only explanation I can come up with. Unless there's, you know, everybody has a bad day, you know, like on Seinfeld, George Costanza had left the room on a high note. Maybe this was just a low note.
I don't know, Justin. I think you're on something with the radio psychology. I think, unfortunately, you know, in this, her comment about taller, I just wonder if this is like a flashback to when she was at LaSalle and, you know, she was obviously a brilliant student and not only straight A, straight A plus. And yet when it came down to having student body president, the tall quarterback, you know, kind of a little maybe, you know, maybe not as smart as her, but certainly likable. He's the person that got elected, you know, student body president. And so she just finds herself back in high school, no matter what, you know, how smart she is. She goes to Silicon Valley and woos them and has a National Governors Association meeting and everything else. And then she's still stuck with these low approval ratings. One more thing about that before we move on. What I also find, I want to pick up on you just said, of where she kind of like, I'll talk to anybody or anything like that. She said that she looked forward to and wanted to speak with Vice President Pence about health care reform. And then she also was quoted in the New York Times saying, well, I was disappointed that he didn't take questions. We didn't really get a chance to talk to him. Well, you know, again, this is someone that won't go next door and talk to the governor of Massachusetts, Charlie Baker. She won't give Patricia Morgan, the minority leader, 5 minutes of her time during the course of the week. And then she's disappointed after she boycotted the inauguration that the vice president won't give her 5 minutes of just talking about the health care. I don't know. Why would you waste time with someone that seems to be the smartest person in the room?
Yeah, well, that's it. And you see this sort of thing locally as well at every level where you've got some people who say they want to work with everybody and
yes,
be pragmatic and make things work. And then when it comes down to it, when you get to the thing that really, really is working with people,
yeah,
they don't do that.
It's right.
Like they don't quite know what working with other people means. And
that's
and
right.
Sometimes it means that the other people are going to disagree with you and say things you don't like. So she instead talks as if she's going to be pragmatic, but pragmatism is, you know, cornering the vice president and maybe even apologizing for skipping the
inauguration.
You know,
yes.
Talking to your Massachusetts, the governor, the Republican governor of the next state over who's really popular, you know, be arm in arm with him. That's pragmatism. But yeah, it's a lot of imaging, I think.
Yes.
And not so much performance.
A very, very good way to put it. Now, folks, for those that listen to our segment each week, not that I'm going to rub it, Justin does owe me an iced coffee from Dunkin' Donuts. We made a gentleman's bet. I said that I thought Governor Raimondo would veto the Evergreen bill. Justin did not think she would. She did veto it. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not getting a clear answer on exactly if the reps are going to come back and they're going to try to override the veto. That's not guaranteed. All the mayors, Don Grabian, every mayor, city and town, they're against that. But, Justin, what I am curious is your reaction was when Bob Walsh, the head of the NEA Rhode Island, blew up and said, you know, behind closed doors, help wanted sign. We need a true Democrat for governor. She told me in a closed-door meeting she can't veto it. or she can't support it because her donors are against it. She denied that and said that that's not the case. What is your take on, you know, this is a delicate balance that, you know, last time around, he is the one that found Claypell and got him to run against her in a primary. And as much as she would like to try to avoid that again, she is still not fully on board with Walsh and company.
Yeah, well, actually, Mr. Walsh's response was exactly what I expected from her veto, which is why I didn't think she'd go that way. It's going to be a problem for her, and it's one of those things that I think you said it last week was, you know, you can't get to the White House if you don't keep the State House.
That's right.
And so she's going to need to find some way. I thought Walsh's talk about the donors was interesting, not only because, you know, the NEA, the state level NEA, let alone all the locals and the individual teachers in their group, are major, major donors in Rhode Island. So to be complaining that the governor is vetoing legislation you like because her donors don't like it is, I mean, it's kind of just foolish talk. But also I think, they'll have to find somebody to dog her and push her back the other way. And I don't know who's out there. So maybe she's calculating that, or maybe the donors Walsh was talking about were the same people whom she's trying to woo through the New York Times interviews and all that sort of thing. We might be getting right back to the wrench thrown in her whole plan by Hillary Clinton not winning.
Well, I agree with you, and also as much as Walsh can throw that out, and we're going to take a quick break. But Justin, it's still who is that person? You know, Walsh says there's people out there. You and I follow this pretty closely. I don't see any Democrat out there that is kicking the tires on a possible run. We can name them on the Republican side. You know, obviously Joe Trillo is taking a hard look at it. Patricia Morgan taking a hard look at it. You have Cranston Mayor Alan Fung taking a hard look at it. Other than, you know, there were two names that were floated around as kind of casual, one being Attorney General Peter Kilmartin, but I haven't heard anything on that. And then the other one was former head of the Rhode Island State Police, Brendan Daugherty. But again, that has been completely silent. As much as Bob Walsh may be saying that, it could be more wishful thinking or just a veiled threat, the way they do that a lot, as opposed to, you know, one thing that I think she has done, and Chafee double-crossed them in their minds, so there's no way they're going to recruit him to try to run again against her in a Democrat primary. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to ask Justin to hold on. Again, it's John DePietro. I also want to thank, we're up and running on Facebook Live. Thanks. Great job by Rob Bennett. So if you go on Facebook, it's John DePietro Show. Click the like button, and then you can say hello. Tara Pelletier joining us, Pinsky. Let me see who else. We have a number of people. Brian Ficassa, Brian Avila, and a lot more. And then make sure, folks, that you share it as well. All brought to you by EliteWirelessRI.com, EliteWirelessRI.com. It's the John DePietro Show. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to Justin Katz of Ocean State Current in just a moment. But, folks, I want to remind you, everyone is raving. And, by the way, you're welcome. With PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center, pop in and see them. They are Rhode Island's top garden center. It's PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center, located Quaker Lane in North Kingstown. They're right next door to Allie's Tack Shop. This is so tremendous. Flowers, trees, shrubs, full garden center, greenhouse, all locally grown, homegrown. Remember, buy local. Excellent quality and less expensive since they grow locally. They're open 7 days a week. Look for the magnificent outdoor display, and it is a magnificent outdoor display. I see Byron out there. I see Junior out there. Call PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. I'll tell you, Steve and Debbie, they are so dedicated and so knowledgeable. You can call them at 295-4399. And right now, what a selection they have on hydrangeas. All colors. I think it's the most beautiful, especially in the summertime. So beautiful. Sunflowers in bloom. Perennial, hibiscus, bush, assorted colors. Where can you find all of this? They're the real deal. PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center, Rhode Island's number one garden center, located Quaker Lane in North Kingstown. Now, where is that? Well, they're right next door to Allie's Tack Shop, one landmark. Number two, they're diagonally across from Allie's Donuts. So maybe getting Allie's Donuts, and you look across the street, and you see their beautiful outdoor display. That's them. And they're also right down the street from Eddie Tarbox and his tremendous campus that he's building. It's PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. They're open 7 days a week. Stop it and see them. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Again, we're going to Ken Block is going to join me coming up at 3 o'clock. He's got a new report out that we're going to talk with Ken Block. We're going to be right back with Justin Katz, managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com. Folks, don't go anywhere. A lot more ahead. We're going to talk to him about the latest up on Smith Hill, hugs and handshakes, the big Newport primary that was decided in a blowout, what that means in going forward, and a lot more on the John DePietro Show.
August 4th to 6th, the 2017 Newport Jazz Festival is happening at beautiful Fort Adams. Artists include The Roots, Audra Day, Branford Marsalis Quartet, Snarky Puppy, Hudson, and more. For tickets and event info, go to newportjazz.org.
If you've got aches, pains, and soreness, it could be chronic inflammation. Listen to what Dave has to say about Relief Factor.
I was in a sawmill accident and suffered with pain and discomfort for 60 years. I heard about Relief Factor and decided to order it. And in 4 days, I was walking without a limp and without pain. I am thrilled.
For more information about Relief Factor and the 2-week quick start for just $19.95, go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com.
Well, with all of this rain that we've had, never mind prior to that, it was just so humid and muggy. You know what's thriving in this type of weather? I hate to tell you, but it is. It's thriving outside. Well, algae, mold, mildew, bacteria, moss. Where is it? It's outside. Maybe it's on your roof or the side of your building or your apartment complex or your deck or your patio or fence. Doesn't have to be that way. Make today the day. I was telling this to Rob Bennett. Join the revolution and call Revolution Software, 680-6591. Jimmy Bennett? No, Rob Bennett, 680-6591. You want to call Bill McMahon. He's the man with a plan. At Revolution Softwash, New England's largest softwash exterior cleaning company, offering residential, commercial, multi-unit softwash removal of mold, mildew, bacteria, moss. They have a tremendous website. It's revolutionsoftwash.com. How can you remember that? Just think of the phrase, Juan told me to join the revolution. Get rid of that green stuff. There's nothing charming about it. There's nothing that says it looks fantastic. Join the revolution and call Revolution Softwash today at 680-6591. Call for your free, no-obligation estimate and join the revolution. It's Revolution Softwash, 680-6591, 680-6591 for Revolution Softwash.
Broadcasting from the far right on your AM dial. At 1540, the John DePietro Show.
All right, and we're back with us, managing editor, OceanStateCurrent.com, is Justin Katz. Justin, as we're speaking this afternoon, this Smith Hill standoff of hugs and handshakes continues, even though they've had the big sipping on gin and juice meeting between Speaker Mattiello and also Senate President Dominic Ruggiero. They are still at this standoff where there is no budget, and it is a matter. I believe them as far as they're not sure if they can get everyone on board. Senate President Ruggiero was even a little more forthcoming. It sounds like he's got some negotiating to do with his own members, but it is unusual that the summer of 2017, I mean, Next week from today is August 1st, that we are still in this budget standoff.
Yeah, and actually, as a segue, I'd say this is that's one of the reasons I'm surprised by the governor's veto of the eternal contracts, because that was a that would have been a great excuse for her. I mean, if she were trying to play politics well, she could have vetoed it rather than just letting it go, which was what I expected to become law without her signature. She could have vetoed it and said, look, we need to get the General Assembly was all in favor of this. I need to get them back in session, so I'm going to veto this, or something to that effect. But yeah, one thing I've been surprised about is the calm tone. If you listen to Mattiello as he speaks about this standoff, it's, not a big deal. And we all know it's not really, because they just shuffle money around anyway. But the big change from Ruggiero, in contrast to that, is the other day he said it's it's becoming a little bit problematic not to have a budget. So that means we're starting to move forward. But there's not exactly a voice of panic. There may be some, you know, I still wonder, this is one area where, you know, I can still use my fiction writer's imagination to think there's some kind of bigger scheme going on. And rather than necessarily negotiating with his members, there might be more of a scheming aspect to it where they're trying to figure out how to play this so that they end up with the budget passed and maybe something, you know, Mary Ellen Goodwin not being thrown overboard by the progressives.
Yeah.
So I think that they're probably looking for the timing and the right mix of talk and rhetoric and what other bills they have to pass. Because I think that paid time off, for example, is still, which the progressives wanted, the mandatory paid time off for all employees.
Yep.
I think that's sitting in the House. So if the Senate comes back, I suppose they could pass a prior version of it and get that into the play, send it on to the governor. But they might be just trying to figure out how can we get the budget, we'll get the car tax in there, the governor will get her free tuition thing, and not do anything else and not pass some of these progressive priorities like the paid time off and still have Mary Ellen Goodwin able to say, hey, look, I tried, I'm on the inside, we'll get it next time. That's sort of the narrative I'm putting to it. We'll see if it's really, you know, more a matter of having to fight with his subordinates, as it were.
For those that are wondering, and I just want to give context to what Justin is saying, he's exactly right. The real inside word is that Mary Ellen Goodwin, who is right-hand person to Senate President Dominic Ruggiero, basically, or very, very high up on the leadership team, not exactly a right-hand person, it's actually McCaffrey, but that she is fearful that if this paid time off, whatever you want to call it, mandatory paid sick time, if that is not progressive enough, that she is fearful of the progressives and they would run someone against her in a primary. And Justin, that is a good segue into what took place in Newport, where I was talking to various people and they said, you know, you just don't know. And you had Senate President Teresa Pivoweed came out and endorsed the firefighter who is in charge of the Newport School Committee. And basically, the Newport primary for Senate President Teresa Pivoweed's seat basically was a complete blowout last week, with especially in Jamestown. But I'll tell you, Justin, the progressives, that to me, they seem to be the ones that are feared more than the regular traditional Democrats, like a Pivoweed, who, by the way, who was also very, very friendly, best buddies with Mary Ellen Goodwin, that they fear the progressives more than they fear Republicans. I thought it was also striking that the endorsed candidate by Senate President Teresa Pivoweed said he would not endorse this progressive. Justin, they have become, you know, Aaron Ruggenberg, the leader, they have become a force in state politics. They're a force in the Democrat Party. They are organized. They are, you know, almost, someone described it to me as almost like cult-like. They are, you know, Planned Parenthood backs them. They're the Bernie Sanders types. There's nothing moderate about them in any way. And right now there are various Democrats that are fearful, both Majority Leader Joe Cicacci and Nick Mattiello are both very fearful that they're going to have progressives running against them next fall in their own elections.
Right. Well, a lot of that is because the Democrats just have the electoral system so locked up in Rhode Island that the biggest threat is for a progressive to get in there and confuse the people who just automatically vote for Democrats, which, you know, prevents Republicans from doing this, having the same kind of leverage. And the progressives also, if you look at campaign finance reports, a lot of their money is coming from out of state.
Yes.
In some cases, as much as, you know, 70% this year, which may, you know, why would a small-time freshman legislator from Providence, Rhode Island, you know, be getting so much money from out of state? Progressives are looking for strong Democrat areas that they can sort of further infect with their way of looking at the world. And it is a big threat. And I think a lot of people don't quite realize what they're going to be getting when they vote for these candidates. I mean, if you look at the candidate in Newport, Dawn Oyer,
yes,
rhymes with lawyer, she, if you look at her statements, you'd almost think she was conservative, you know, in a Raimondo-ish way. You know, we're going to invest in workers and small businesses and create jobs, and we're all about transparency and accountability. And it's, you know, when you dig in a little bit, it's all just rhetoric. But that's the big challenge is now if they can take a primary, they can take a lot of the Democrat freebies that come with that, just having the D after your name. And then they talk this gobbledygook language that mainly will confuse people about what they're really about. And they'll take some seats. And that is a big threat. It'll be interesting to see how the more traditional Democrats in the General Assembly cope with that. And maybe, who knows, maybe they'll start to actually work with Republicans. I tend to doubt it, but that'd be a positive outcome, I think.
That would really be something. But I also noticed that Sam Bell, and we're going to let you go on this, but the head of the progressives, he is no fan of Mattiello. He is no fan of Governor Gina Raimondo, who, when she came in, she considered herself and called herself a progressive. But she's obviously not progressive enough for her because, I mean, he takes shots at her all the time. If anything, it seems to keep open this door that somehow that former Governor Link Chafee may run as an independent and be the candidate for the liberal progressives. I still don't think he would challenge her in a Democrat primary. He won governor as an independent. If he runs, and again, if he runs again, I still see him running as an independent. I have one final question for you, and that is just what do you make of one thing I'll say about Congressman Cicilline, he's able to, where other people hesitate to get involved with the party just seems a little bit adrift right now, he is certainly getting a lot of airtime on television by being kind of the go-to guy right now for the Elizabeth Warren, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi wave of the party that is obviously very liberal progressive compared to some of the Southern Democrats or the more moderate Democrats, but boy, he is, he's not getting anything really accomplished here in Rhode Island. But I'll tell you, Justin, every time, whether it's on CNN or even Fox News Channel, it was on Fox and Friends yesterday, it was on Tucker Carlson last night, for someone who really can't chalk up any type of success as far as legislation, he is getting more airtime and visibility right now than any other member of the delegation.
Yeah, well, he's willing to say things, you know, go on the House floor and put up big signs to mock the president and that sort of thing. And he's clearly looking for issues that'll get him some face time. For example, going after Amazon to ask Congress to look into whether Amazon's heading into monopoly territory. And, you know, it's actually a reasonable position to have Congress look into that. He's playing politics well, and I don't think anybody's ever accused him of being inept at politics. What the challenge is going to be, though, is in Newport as well as nationally, our national races in Rhode Island, is for opposition candidates on the right, generally going to be Republicans, to really force those folks to stop with the slogans and to have them put policies to that. Like the Democrats' new policy, you know, what is it, better skills, better jobs, better wages or something. You know, what you need is candidates from the right who are going to come out and say, this is what I'm going to do to fix this problem.
Yes.
What's your plan? If your plan is single payer, that's going to destroy our economy, you know, for example. So that's what really needs to happen. But, yes, Congressman Cicilline has been out there quite a bit. And if he's looking at Rhode Island losing one of his seats and he's positioning himself to run against, say, a Langevin or some whoever else might arise to take the single congressional seat for Rhode Island, it's about what you would expect him to be trying to do, is be out there finding issues on which to be visible.
I do give him credit because there's nothing like the same thing that Bill Belichick will say, there's nothing like real game experience. Many times, even if the Patriots are up, you know, 4 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, Tom Brady's still out there because he's trying to get timing down with the receivers. There's things that you can achieve in real game time experience that you just can't in practice. And one thing I'll say about Congressman Cicilline is right now there's no one on the horizon that's going to challenge him. Every time you do one of these appearances, whether it be on Fox and Friends or Tucker Carlson or CNN, you get better at it, and he is certainly getting more polished. You see him out there a lot, and it's only going to be to his benefit to, again, if you don't mind going on there and kind of getting bruised a little bit with Tucker Carlson, he's only going to be better in the long run. Just so we're keeping track, you do owe me, we're going double or nothing now on the bet, and just for those that are keeping score at home, so she did veto it. We are going double or nothing on whether or not you believe, you think that they were going to come back and they're going to override the veto. Is that where we're at?
No. I thought we were going double or nothing on the Montanaro.
Oh, Montanaro.
Whether Frank Montanaro will get some prosecuted for something. Or
okay.
Just, you know, the whole issue.
Oh, okay. Good. But, all right. I'm going to stay with that. We are going to go double or nothing. I'm going to stay with Montanaro. I did find it interesting, actually, as you mentioned that before I let you go. I'm going to stick with, I believe there will be charges. It was very quick. I've heard, you know, that they certainly talked to the people at Rhode Island College. It seems to be pretty clear. But what I found interesting is that editorial in the Providence Journal, boy, they have really joined forces with Speaker Mattiello. The Providence Journal did an editorial. How about they referred to Mattiello and Ruggiero as statesmanlike, the way they handle themselves. And then in this editorial they did just the other day on the Frank Montanaro story, they threw it as, Justin, the person that needs to take action here is Governor Raimondo, because she's running the show. At no point do they mention the fact that Mattiello handpicked Montanaro. He's his right-hand guy. He more than doubled his salary to $156,000. He was less than forthcoming. He's agreed to pay it back. And the Journal editorial board basically said, boy, Raimondo needs to get on the stick here and get things going. No mention of the fact that maybe Mattiello may want to reconsider someone he put in charge of a $40 million budget. I'll give you the final word on this.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much authority the governor has over employees of the legislature. That would seem like a separation of powers thing. But, you know, a long time ago, I stopped trying to guess what the Providence Journal editorial board's scheming to do.
Yeah.
But it does show you how bereft of statesmanship we are in Rhode Island, that when two legislators who are essentially conducting the entire budget in an unconstitutional way, just by agreeing between themselves what they're going to do, that when they actually sit down for a private meeting over whatever they had, maybe it was an Irish coffee or something, that's statesmanship, because they're actually not doing the most stupid thing you could possibly do at a given moment.
Right.
I guess that's kind of where we are in Rhode Island right now.
Folks, he is the managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com. He is Justin Cass. Justin, great. Great as always, and we'll talk to you again.
Great. Look forward to it. Thanks, John.
All right. Folks, it's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We have some more guests coming up. You're going to love the program. Again, folks, 846-1028. Ken Block is going to join me coming up at 3 o'clock. Here's a new report and information regarding voter fraud, I believe, in Rhode Island. We're going to talk to Ken Block. We'll learn together coming up. And then I believe we're going to have a special guest coming up at 4 o'clock that you're going to enjoy as well. We do have Facebook Live going. I have a feeling that there could be another bit of a little glitch, but we're not going to let it distract us too much, because I want to remind you, if you want to change your life, and I mean, we're talking about a game changer here. I'm talking about Water Filter Company. Call Steve at Water Filter Company today. They're located right in North Kingstown. You see them on Route 4 many times. You're traveling back and forth to the beaches. Call Steve at Water Filter Company, 294-2400. Now, I spoke to Steve, folks. There's no one more knowledgeable. We had the system put into our home. What a difference with drinking water. And when you call Water Filter Company, you want to find out, free consultation, about the E3 system. What is it, independent man? The E3 system with Water Filter Company. What does that mean? It means all the water that pumps you through your home. Your clothes are going to smell cleaner. When you're taking a shower, your skin is actually better. Never mind the drinking water, the water you use to cook from. It is incredible. Believe me, you don't want to know some, well, actually, let me strike that. You do want to know some of the things that are in what you consider just be safe tap drinking water. Don't take any chances. Call Water Filter Company today. As far as bottled water, you're wasting money. Bottled water, you still don't know where it comes from. It's filled with a lot of bacteria. You need Water Filter Company. You're going to notice a difference yourself. It is so much cleaner. It is incredible. Boom, they can install it so quickly, and there's no one more knowledgeable. They're going to make a difference for your life, for your children's lives. You owe it to yourself. There's nothing like completely clean drinking water. You need Water Filter Company. Folks, call them today, 294-2400. Find out about the new E3 system. It's for your entire house. It's Steve. It's Water Filter Company. 294-2400. What a great Rhode Island success story. Water Filter Company. 294-2400. 2400. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. We'll take some of your phone calls. If you're listening right now and you would like to comment on anything that I just discussed with Justin Katz, first-time callers are welcome. 846-1028. You just dial 401-846-1028 on the John DePietro Show.
The following is a summary of the general contest rules for 3G broadcasting. For contests, entry requirements will be announced on air. Winners will be determined in accordance with the criteria set forth in the on-air announcement. 3G broadcasting is not responsible for unusable entries. Station is not responsible for entries not received due to technical difficulties. Station is not responsible for any lost, disconnected, dropped, misdirected, or incomplete telephone calls. Entrants may be disqualified at the sole discretion of the station. Each contest is open to all station listeners who are legal United States citizens 18 years of age or older and who reside in the station listening area. The station shall have the right to change these eligibility requirements based on the individual contest in question. Listeners are eligible to win a contest only once every 30 days. Only one winner per household is permitted in any contest. Participants in the contest must possess valid government-issued photo identification and sign a liability release as a condition of receiving any prize. Winner must meet all eligibility requirements. Prizes will be announced within the specific contest's on-air announcement. Contest prizes are non-transferable. Winners will receive a 1099 IRS tax form if the total of all prizes won for a current year equal more than $600 in value. Prizes are limited solely to those items explicitly set forth herein and shall not include any or all other expenses, incidentals, or taxes that may arise out of the winner's receipt of this prize. Decisions of station management with respect to the contest are final. Odds of winning vary per contest. Payment of all federal, state, and local taxes are the sole responsibility of the winner. Winners will be required to sign an IRS Form W-9 or the equivalent. Failure or refusal to execute the release will result in the winner forfeiting the prize. Photo identification and social security number of the grand prize winner may also be required in order to collect the prize. For internet contests, the station in its sole discretion reserves the right to disqualify any person tampering with the entry process. The station reserves the right in its sole discretion to modify the contest rules and dates at any time for any reason. No purchase is necessary. The contest is void where prohibited. Copies of the written contest rules and a list of all winners are available during regular business hours at the main studio of the radio station. 15 Dr. Marcus Wheatland Boulevard, Newport, Rhode Island, 02840.
It's where you live, a New England home. Give it a look, that's all its own.
That's right.
Garage headquarters, 877-62-GARAGE.
Well, folks, there's got to be one number one. Nothing to be ashamed of. What are you kidding me? Your number one overhead door authority. Garage headquarters, your source for increasing the value of your home, making your home great again. Call them today, 877-62-GARAGE, or visit their website, garageheadquarters.com. And you can ask your rep on how do I select a garage door that matches the architecture of your home. Well, it's simple. When you have the DoorView software imaging tool, it's also going to increase the value of your home. Go with the number one today. Overhead door. And remember, it's all backed by the best door price guarantee. You can't buy a better door for a better price, period. That's right. The local number one, Garage Headquarters, named again this past year. This is about more doors, more selection, best door price value. And when you've been in business longer, better technicians, more warehouses, more trucks on the road than any other company in Rhode Island and southeastern Mass. Go with the number one. You can't rely on those big box stores, overpriced, use subcontractors. You want the certified professionals since 1973.
Garage headquarters, 877-62-GARAGE.
He tells it like it is. He's John DePietro on 1540 WADK.
And we're back on this Tuesday. Good afternoon, one and all. It's Juan. It is John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. Here I am, folks. Afternoons from 1 to 5 right here on AM 1540, right-hand side of the dial, and it's WADK. Well, you can always call in 846- 1028. 1-800-846-1028. You know, I was glad I mentioned yesterday, I did it, the timing wasn't great. I did it right before crazy time, but I mentioned the piece, the story was on HBO, it turned out, about the royal family, especially about Prince William and Harry. If you saw it last night, I'll tell you, HBO is just cranking out some great programming right now. I don't understand people that don't have HBO, to be perfectly honest with you, because you're cheating yourself. But I mentioned, and they showed it last night, those two just amazing young men and the death of Diana, and especially that final phone call. They were so young, and they didn't fully understand everything. You know, they just wanted to talk with their cousins. William was 15, and Harry was 12. Look for it in HBO. I have a feeling that it will be repeated. I mean, they normally repeat a lot of these things. And this one is really worth seeing. And it was just terrific. I read the story about it yesterday, and then I actually stumbled into it last night as far as suddenly there it was. It was on at 10 o'clock on HBO. And it was it's really incredible. They're just so highly likable, and it's sad at the same time. I mean, it takes you back to Diana, who was so young during that wedding of the century, and then just how her life, I mean, it was really crazy and cruel, the way the paparazzi was all over her and would not leave her alone, and she hated dealing with it. And they have that scene where she's actually skiing with the two boys, and, you know, she got divorced, obviously, from Prince Charles, and the media. I mean, even Prince William was saying, you know, everywhere she went, there'd be 30 guys on motorcycles, just relentless, going after her and tracking her, you know, trying to track her down. And by the way, this was all before Twitter and Facebook and Snapchat and everything else. This was, you know, this was 20 years ago. It's the 20-year anniversary of the death of Princess Diana. So tragic. And she did so much and took up causes, but those two young men, her sons, are just so likable, and they're incredible young men, and it's sad. It's something that especially Harry talks about, going in the military and trying to deal with the death of his mom. That was just so sad. Folks, 846-1028. Look for it, though. It's very, very well put together. I mentioned things. If I see something that I think is good, Game of Thrones is great right now. Those that don't watch that, again, I don't get that. Don't watch. The stuff on traditional television is just such junk on the networks. How about all these stupid game shows? You know The Gong Show is back? I didn't even know that. The Gong Show is back. Match Game is back. Somebody else has a game show. They're impossible to watch, by the way. The Gong Show is brutal. I actually tried to watch it. I saw somebody mention it on Facebook. I tried to watch it. I don't remember what night it was. It is unwatchable. It is so stupid. I mean, it was one thing when it was Chuck Barris. There was nothing else to watch. And it was just whatever. But these current game shows, I didn't even know that's what they're running now. There's all these game shows on television. And they're on at night. They're not on in the afternoon. But they're unwatchable. I mean, they're... At least I'm not who they're trying to get to watch it, because it's like uncomfortable as I'm watching it. It's so it's just so foolish and so stupid. Folks, it's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Again, I wanted to mention one, this Wall Street Journal, Randy Weingarten's racism rant. Betsy DeVos, now she's the head of the American Federation of Teachers. The editorial board of the Wall Street Journal writes, Betsy DeVos must be doing something right. She's head of education. Why else would Randy Weingarten, president of the American Federation of Teachers, devote a speech late last week to blasting the education secretary for using the word choice and then tying it to racism? Sounding like Hillary Clinton in full deplorable mode, Randy Weingarten says the movement to give parents more say over where their kids go to school has its roots in racism, sexism, classism, xenophobia, and homophobia. Adapting the theology of the climate change censors who seek to shut down debate, she goes on to call Betsy DeVos a public school denier. But really, Frost, the AFD president, she recognized the public school monopoly her union backs is now under siege. morally, politically, for its failure to educate children, especially minority children. Wall Street Journal writes, it's not that there are no excellent public schools, it's just citizens are beginning to see that the public money the unions increasingly demand is more likely to go into pensions than the classroom. Now, folks, close at home, this is best seen in Cranston right now. They're saying they need, what, like 100-something million to fix the Cranston schools. Even if that money was granted, where do you think it's going? It's not going into the schools. It's going into pensions. In Warwick, the whole battle is not to improve the physical structure of the schools. It's all about pensions. So the journal writes, and access to excellent schools increasingly depend on a good zip code. Weingarten tries to taint the push for choice by tracing it to attempt some parts of the country to invade Brown versus Brown of education. There's a reason Randy Weingarten spends most of her time on the bad old days. This is because it's much harder to defend the academic segregation of today. My goodness, but she is just a complete nutcase. How about Wall Street Journal also had a story about Sean Spicer? Now they're all telling stories out of the White House. Less than a month into his new job, White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer needed to keep his food and fridge drink cold. He wanted a mini fridge. He dispatched a top aide to a nearby executive office building where junior research employees are crammed into a room, surviving on lean cuisine, frozen lunches. I visited this. Spicer, want your icebox, the ice said. They refused to give it up. So Spicer waited until sundown after his young staffers had left to take matters in his own hands. He was spotted by a fellow White House official lugging the icebox down the White House driveway after 8 o'clock. Poor Sean Spicer. I think he's handled himself pretty well. Now, you've heard about the story in North Providence that the police chief has been suspended. Well, according to the Providence Journal, acting North Providence police chief Christopher Pelagio charged at a Cranston police sergeant who's married to his high school girlfriend at a memorial service in May. So they launched an investigation into it. The retired Cranston officer who discussed the case with the Providence Journal asked not to be identified. He said he attended the memorial service, interviewed by Cranston police, Todd Patilano. Pelagio, the North Providence chief, was getting into his truck when he charged at the Cranston officer, started screaming and yelling. Pelagio asked Patilano had to stand between them to end the heated argument. The mayor of North Providence denies having a conversation with the Cranston chief of police about this whole matter. So now they're saying it's about something to do about an ex-girlfriend from old girlfriend, excuse me, or old girlfriend from high school is what started that feud. Who knows? Right? Slow dance at the prom all these years later. Still a problem. Folks, it's John DePietro. I want to remind you that if your doctor wants you to have lab tests done, but you wonder, does your health plan have a deductible? Can I choose which lab to get my blood work done? The next time you need testing to avoid the high cost of hospitals, visit Eastside Clinical Laboratory. Eastside Clinical Lab offers the highest quality at the lowest cost. Eastside accepts all insurances. Over 50 locations. There's a location near you. Why pay more? For more information, answers to your questions for a location near you, visit labchoice.org. It's labchoice.org. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We're going to start off next hour with Ken Block, his Blockbuster Report. Get it? On the John DePietro Show. Folks, you can always call in 846-1028. Email is john@depietro.com. That's right, Rob Bennett, labchoice.org. It's John DePietro, a big program in store. Stay with us right here. You're going to want to hear this Blockbuster Report on the John DePietro Show.